Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf He, and we are 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Omid Beis Omar Ulot. So the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Omid Aleph brought an intense machloikis between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva regarding Tumas Nevela. So a Nevela, in addition to being Asav Achila, is also Tameh. You don't need the entire Nevela in order to have Tumas Nevela. Rather, a kezayis of basa nevela is enough to be metamah. The Tanoim discuss what happens if you have the hide of an animal, and attached to the hide of the animal is a little bit of basa, and that basa adds up to a kezayis. Is that enough for it to transmit tuma or not? You have a kezayis basa nevela, perhaps yes. Or being that it's attached to the ur, maybe it's going to be different. Said the Mishnah, if the entire kezayis is together as one, even if it's attached to the ur, it's poshet, it's going to be metametumas nevela, both bimaga ubimasa. If, however, the nevela is not in one clump, but rather you have two chatzi zeisen, you have a chatzi zayis and a chatzi zayis that are attached to the same ur, even though they're mechuber via the ur, being that you don't have the kezayis basa together, it's not so poshet that there would be tumah. What's the halach? Rabbi Shmuel says there's no tumas maga, there is tumas masa. Rabbi Akiva says you can't have one without the other. And being that there's no tumas maga, you're not going to have tumas masa either. Stating that, the Mishnah said, "Umoid Rabbi Akiva, in the event that you would have two chatzi zesim of basa nevela, shetachvam bikisein, they weren't attached to ur, but rather they were connected with a kisein, like a kebab, the hisitan, and then you moved it, shutame, you're going to be tummy." In other words, Rabbi Akiva doesn't disagree fundamentally with Rabbi Shmuel that it's impossible to have tumas nevela with two chatzi zesim that are attached. The fact that the chatzi zesim are separate and they're merely attached by something superficial, that in and of itself is not a reason for it not to have tumas nevela. Why then does Rabbi Akiva hold in the Mishnah that if you have two chatzi zesim of nevela that are attached to ur, the halach is you can act and have bas nevelos? Rabbi Akiva himself explained it in the Mishnah. Umepnei Rabbi Akiva metayr ba'ur, mepnei sha'ur mevatlan. It's a separate svara. It's because each half a zayis of basar is bottled to the ur. As a result, you don't have a share because two things that are each bottle don't eat add up to anything. In other words, as it relates to two chatzi zesim, basa nevela that are attached to ur, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, both moed there is no tumas maga. As it relates to tumas masa, Rabbi Yishmael says there's tumas masa. So if somebody would carry this hide, he would become tame. Rabbi Akiva says there's no tumas masa. Stating that, Rabbi Akiva agrees that it's possible to have tumas masa of nevela even if you have two chatzi zesim nevela that are separate. How so? If they were attached, not via ur, but they were attached with a kisei, such as a kebab. What's the difference? When they're attached to ur, the ur is mevatel, each half is zayis, thus you don't have a shear. If they're attached via kisim, there's nothing being mevatel, the chatzi zayis. Rabbi Akiva agrees be a side that you could be mitzayir of two half a zayisim and have tumas nevela. Stating that, the Gemara begins today's daf with a memra from Ula, who was an amoira, which at first glance would seem to contradict everything that we just said. So the Gemara, Omar Ula, shnei chatzoi zayisim shetachvam bikisim. If somebody has two half a zayisim of a nevela and he attached them together with this kebab, I feel moiluchu, maybe call him kuloi. He could pick it up, put it down, carry it this way, that way. The halach is tahar. My timer, what's the reason? Because the pasuk, when it describes that someone that carries a nevela is tame, tumas nevela is transmitted via maga and masa. And when the Torah describes the tumas masa component of a nevela, the pasuk says v'noise. But if you look at the word in the Torah, it's written chaser. There's no vav in v'noise. Thus, what we do is we say that even though the way the word is pronounced, the yesh in the mikra of the word is noise, but it's written as if it would have said v'nisa. Because v'nisa v'karina noise. How do we darshan that? V'ina noise v'hu denisa v'vas achas. Noise says someone who carries the nevela is going to be tummy. Nisa would seem to suggest that you have to carry it b'vas achas. Two half is asim that are attached by something external is not considered nisa b'vas achas, and it's for that reason, says Ula, if you would take two half a zesim of an avela and you would carry it the whole day, afilu moilchu mevi kolayo and kuloy, the halach is that you're going to be tar. Why? It's exeris hakasim, because when the Torah says v'noise, it's written as if it would say v'nisa. V'nisa is mashma b'vas achas. What's the kasha? Our Mishnah, it contradicts everything in our Mishnah. Read the Gemara tonight. Rabbi Shmuel said that if you have two avizes of an avail that's attached to the ar, you carry the ar, that loch is going to be top. Rabbi Kiva argues. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold ha'ar mevaklan, and as a result, Rabbi Shmuel holds it's going to be tumas mas. Freita Gemara mai, v'alav nisohu. How could Ula say then that there's a halacha of noisei dumnio denisa? You see from Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah that even though the two half hafizesim are separate, they're merely attached via the R, still the halacha is going to be tamei. Rapapa said, bimerudad. You have to say the Mishnah is talking about where although the two half hafizesim were separate, but there was one ritzuas basar, there was one strip of meat that attached the two half hafizesim, being that they are attached, albeit with this very thin strip of meat, that's enough for it to be considered nisa bevas achas, and it's for that reason you're going to be tamei. Ula was talking about where there was no ritzuas basar attaching the two half hafizesim. In that case, it's not going to be nisa tashma, another raya, or another kashan ula from the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Akiva says that if you have two half hafizesim of basar nevela that are attached to the ar, that lochis is no tumas maga or tumas masa, but the Mishnah said Rabbi Akiva's moida, if you would have two chatzizesim shetach from bikisim that were attached with a rod, they were attached with a kebab, the hesita, and you carried it. Shu tome amai. This literally contradicts Ula's halacha. Falav nisu says the marhachanami b'meruda. You have to say the same akimta. It's talking about where although they were separate, but there was this ritzuas basa that was attaching the two half hazesim, and it's for that Ula was talking about where there was no ritzuas basa. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yekiva, and our Mishnah are discussing where there was a ritzuas basa. Says the Gemara Ketanoi. At first glance, it would seem that this shaila of noise dumya denisa is really a machloikis tanam, not a mafurish machloikis tanam, but perhaps it's implied from what at first glance would seem to be an ambiguous machloikis tanam. The Braita says as follows: echad anoigeya ve'ich echad amese. If somebody touches basa nevela, or if somebody moves basa nevela, he becomes tamei. Rabbi Eliezer says afa noise, even someone that carries basa nevela. Now, if you read the Braisa carefully, at first glance, it's a little tzarech bir. The Tanakhama said that if you touch Basa Nevela, or if you move Basa Nevela, you become Tomei. Kumtzegen, Rabbi Eliezer, he says, not only if you move it, but even if you carry it. Freik de Gemara, afa noise, atu noise, lav mesetu. When you carry it, you're moving it. So what does that mean? El laf hachi kamar, must be, this is the machlekes. Echad anegev, echad ameset, b'loi nisa. The Tanakhama holds that you're chayiv if you touch Nevela, you're chayiv if you move nevela beloy nisa, but he doesn't require that the nevela be able to be carried by vasach. For us, Rabbi Eliezer lemeimar, Rabbi Eliezer came to be moise, but who denisa? Not af hanoise. We know noise. If you're chayef for being meset, you're chayef for being noise. He's coming to add a criteria, and that is that it has to be nisa, not noise. The kri nisa the ksiv. It has to be able to be carried by vasachas. The point is so. It would seem then that this halacha of whether the nevelo needs to be able to be carried with as achas or not is the machloikis shnuya. It would seem to be a machloikis tanakam Rabbi Eliezer, but the Gemara asks, umay af. L'chura, if Rabbi Eliezer is coming to do is tell me that the only time you're chayiv is if it's nisa b'vas achas, that means Rabbi Eliezer is coming to limit Tumas Nevela. He's being mitzamtzim the laws of Tumas Nevela. He's saying that the only time you're chayiv is if it was able to be nisa. That's not what the word af sounds like. Af sounds like he's being moisif. He's being machmer. Rabbi Eliezer is not being machmer the way we're understanding Rabbi Eliezer now. He's actually being mekel. He's saying that the only time yichai is if it's possible for it to be nisa b'vas achas. But if it can't be nisa b'vas achas, then there's not going to be tumah. That's not af. Af is even more. So the Gemara says, ema v'hu denisa. Change the word. You're right. If that's the problem, ken z'chanaitza gaven. Instead of saying af, say v'hu. V'hu, he's being, in fact, mitzamtzem. Either way, the Gemara suggests that this halacha of ula is really a machloikis tana. Either way, so the Gemara is going to now shift its attention from the halachas of uktzin, tumas oichlin, tumas nevela, to the halachas of tumas meis, tumas oil. Zok de heilige mishnah, kulis hameis. A kulis usually means the thigh bone, the femur. in our Mishnah, what kulis is going to mean is any bone that has marrow in it. So the thigh has marrow in it. Any bone that has marrow in it in our Mishnah is going to be referred to as a kulis. So there's some bones that have bone marrow. There are bones that do not have bone marrow. Our Mishnah is talking specifically about bones that have marrow. Says the Mishnah, a bone of a human corpse that has marrow in it, the kulas on the k'toshim, or the bone of a behema that's kachim, that's tame, that has marrow in it. Rashi says right away, what kind of behema of kachim are we referring to? So Rashi sends us to the very end of Masechtas Pesachim. Pesachim dav kuf chav amid beis. A fascinating halacha that we discussed in somewhat detail when we learned Masechtas Vachim, and that is hapigul v'hanoiser metamen asayudayim. So we're very familiar with the halachas of pigul, and we're very familiar with the halachas of noiser. Pigul and noiser are two of the prototypical psulim when you're dealing with kachim. Something becomes pigul when a kohen was doing the avodah, he had a machshava to do an achilas basar, achilas mezveh, chutz zman, chutz mekoyim. Noiser happens when the basar or the emurav of a carbon is left over beyond its time. Those are psulim, they carry with them the oinish chamer of karas. But in addition to all that, to add insult to injury, the chachamim said that if somebody comes in contact with pigul, a shtick flesh that's pigul, or if someone comes in contact with noiser, he's going to be tamer. So in addition to all the psulim and the Einshim HaChamurim and all the Sugyas HaChamurois and Shas and Brisk, etc., there's also Toma. So if somebody touches Pigul and Noisa, it becomes Tommy. Why? It's not the Deiraisa. So why the Chachamim have to do that? So Rashi already quotes the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. The Chachamim felt that even though pigul is so chomer, but there may be kehanim that are going to have a machshavas pigul. Why would they do it? To get back at the balak carbon. There may be kehanim that are going to be lazy, and they're not going to make sure that the basa doesn't turn into noiser. What did they do? Tuma, as we've seen, we spoke about this last week. Tuma, for some reason, carried a very important place as it relates to the conscience of the yid. And if you tell the yid and the kehanim, oh, if there's going to be pigul, now you're going to become tame. So that already was able to. So, but the point is, the chamu were geizer tuma on noiser and pigul. So if you have the kulis, that's a bone of a carbon that's pigul or noise that has marrow inside of it. So what's the halacha? So kulis ames, again, bone marrow of a human, v'kulos hamikdash, or of a behemas kachim that's tamei now because it's either pigul or noiser. I don't care then if somebody touches bein stum and bein akuf, whether the bone was completely sealed off, so the marrow is completely absorbed inside this bone that's sasun bein akuvim, or whether it has a hole, that lach is tamei. The person's going to be tamei. Kulis nevela v'kulos hasheretz. What about the kulis of a animal that is in a vela? So it's tamei because it's in a vela, or the kulis of one of the shmeina shrub that are tamei as well. There, the halacha is different. Hanegei behen stumim tayim. If somebody touches him while it's sasum, he's going to be tayim. Nekuvim. If it's nakuv, kosho. Even if there's a small nekev, metame b'maga, he's going to be tamei tumas maga. It says the Mishnah minayin sha'af b'masa. How do you know that as relates to kumas nevelo and kulas asheretz, to the extent that the bone is sasum, he's not going to be even tamei tumas masa? Talmud loymer. The Gemara will explain all this. Hanegev anoisei yeshabal lechal maga bal lechal masa. Loybal lechal maga loybal lechal masa. We saw this already yesterday's daf. Thus the halach is that being that there's no tumas maga by kulas nevel and kulas hasheretz, to the extent that the kulas is asum, they can't be tumas masa either because the two are related to each other. That was Rabbi Akiva Shita in yesterday's daf, and the Gemara is going to get back into this. But either way, for now the Mishnah is saying a halacha with regards to a kulis. Again, a kulis is a bone that has marrow inside it. And the question is, if somebody comes in contact now with this kulis, hanoigeya behen, if somebody touches it, and Rashi says, when we say hanoigeya, we mean if hanoise as well. Tumas maga and tumas masa. That's what we're referring to. What's the halacha? Does he become tummy? Does he not become tummy? Says the Mishnah, it depends what type of tumma we're discussing. And the Mishnah discusses four types of tumma. Tumas mace, tumas hamukdashim, that's noiser and pigel, tumas nevela, and Tumas Sheretz. As it relates to Tumas Meis and Tumas HaMukdashin, if somebody touches this kulis, Bein Stumin, Bein Nikuvim, he's going to be Tomei. As it relates to Tumas Levela, Tumas Sheretz, if it touches it Sasam, he's going to be Tahar. If he touches it Nikuvim, even if the neck of it is so small, it's a kosher. Rashi says it's so small that the only thing that can get in it is a strand of hair. It doesn't matter. That's enough for it to be Tomei. But if it's Sasam, in that case, you're going to be
Tar. Either way, as you can tell, a festa Daf Gemara coming. But the primary topic of the Daf now is going to be, today's Daf that is, focusing on the first halacha of the Mishnah. And that is Kulas Hameis. The halacha is as it relates to a human corpse. So if somebody comes in contact with that Kulas, what does that mean? He touches it? Rashi says, V'kolshken if he carries it. Maga or Masa? The halacha is, Bein Stumen, Bein Nekuvim, he's going to be Tommy. So before we start the Gemara, just a little bit of an introduction. We're familiar with the idea of Tumas Hameis. That was the Kriyas HaTorah. That was Parshas Parah. That was Mafter. Adam Kiyom Espayel. Right, the halachas of Tumas Hameis. A mace transmits Tuma. But the truth is, you don't need an entire mace in order to have Tuma. A kezayis bosom in a mace is metama. A revius dam of a mace is metama. An aver of a mace is metama. An etzem kisa'ira is metama. A ladleful, a spoonful of dust of a mace is metama. So you don't need the entire Reib Minyan, the Shedra, right? These are sugyas in Mesachtas Aholas and scattered throughout Shas, Mesachtas Nazar, a lot in Chulin. But the point is that you don't need the entire mace in order to have Tumas mace, but certain parts of a mace would be enough in order to transmit Tumas. That's number one. Number two is a mace, in addition to being metama, b'mago, b'masa, has a very special chiddush. It's also metama b'oil. What does Tumas oil mean? It means one of three things. It means if somebody's mahil on a mace, if somebody would walk over a mace, say he himself created the oil on the mace, he now would become, even though he never touched the mace, he never carried the mace, but by virtue of the fact that he himself was an oil on the mace, there's a transmission of tumma through the oil. If the mace would be mahil on top of him, so you're sitting down, you're minding your own business, and now a mace goes flying over you. So that's tumas oil, because the mace itself was the oil. The most common example of tumas oil is if a person is in a room and there's a mace in the same room. So if a person is under the same oil as the mace, that would be a third way for there to be tumas oil. We're going to see in today's daf that there's lumdish differences between the respective types of tumas oil. Not all tumas oils were created equally. They're not all the same. But there's three ways that a mace could transmit tumma through oil. If the person is the oil on the mace, if the mace is the oil on the person, or if the person and the mace are both underneath the same oil. Number three, not all tumas mace, or not all parts of a mace, have the ability to be metama ba'oil. So, for example, a kezayis basar, as it relates to today's daf, has the ability to be metama b'maga b'masa. It could also be metama ba'oil. An aver of a mace is metama b'maga b'masa. It could also be metama ba'oil. But an etzem, for example, hagam des halacha l'moishu misina, that says that an etzem the size of a sa'ira, that's very small, a barley, that's enough to transmit tumma, but that's only b'maga b'masa, not necessarily ba'oil. So again, you don't need the entire mace in order to have tumma. There's a concept of a kezayis basam in a mace already, can transmit tumas mace. You have the revius stam of the mace, you have the aver, you have the etzim kisayra, you have the maloy tarva drachev. So there's different parts of the mace that have the ability to transmit tumma. When you talk about tumas mace, there's maga, there's masa. In addition to that, there's also tumas oil. But not all parts of a mace that have an ability to transmit tumma have an ability to be matam of oil. A complete mace for sure. Even a kezayis basam in a mace, even an aver. But for example, an etzim kisayra of a mace, that's matam of maga of masa. That does not have the ability to be metama b'oil. Stating that, the Gemara begins its discussion of Mesechtes Aholos with the Diak in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kulas Hameis, if you have this bone that has marrow inside it, what's the halacha? Hanegeya behen, if somebody touches it, bein stumin, bein nekuvin, tameh is going to be tameh. It sounds like you're only tameh if you come in contact with the kulas. What if you were under the same roof as the kulas? What if you were mahil on the kulas? What if the kulas was mahil over you? It sounds like in that case you're not going to be tamei. Because if the halacha is you'd be tamei in that case, the Mishnah is an aggressor chiddush. The Mishnah should say kulas hameis. Not only hanegeya behen is he going to be tamei, but even if there was an oil relationship between you and the kulas, that should be enough for there to be tamei. Freit the Gemara negeya in have a mahil. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the only way to become tamei from the kulas hameis is through maga, not through oil. Freit the Gemara hechi dami idik because I is possible. Are we talking about where there's meat on the bone? literally. There's a kezayis basar on the kulis. Then boil nami letame. Then certainly there should be tumas oil. Why? Because of the kezayis basar that's on the kulis. So what do you have to say? Like a kezayis basar. Okay, that's easy. The Mishnah's talking about hacha b'mayo skinon, where there was no kezayis basar. But the idik kezayis mayak b'fchem. The Gemara continues and says that if the marrow that's inside the bone, which is ro'oi la'achiva, and the Chachamim throughout Shas viewed that marrow, you have it in Hilchis, Karban Pesach, and a whole bunch of different places in Halacha, as basar, if that amounts to a kezayis, then weiter there should be tumas oil. Why? Because the kezayis of mayach that's inside the kulis makes up a kezayis basar, and even though you'll tell me, you never came in contact with the kezayis basar, because even if you're under the same oil with that bone, but the mayach is absorbed inside the bone. So being that the mayach is in the bone, so l'chura, how does the mayach in the bone have an ability to be metamyu? The answer is Aholus 101. Tuma by kasva oila. Because the halacha is that if you have tuma that's inside something else, if there's no halal tefach, if there's no gap of a tefach between the tuma and the thing that the tuma is inside, the halacha is halacha l'moshe misinai, the tuma is able to be by keya wulderikiyim, and it's able to go literally up to the shamayim. So in this case, there's no chalal tefach between the marrow inside the bone and the physical bone. As a result, this tumah is baikeya, it's oila through the bone, and vayter it has the ability to be matama. So if that's the case, boil nami latama. So why is there no tumasoil? So okay, again, not so schwer. You'll tell me it's talking about when there was no kezayis mayach. There's no kezayis basar on the bone. There's also no kezayis of mayach in the bone. But the Gemara continues. If the tan of our Mishnah is of the opinion that the metzias is that the marrow inside the bone has an ability to make the basar on the bone regenerate. One of the functions of bone marrow is that it allows the muscle and the tissue and the meat of the bone to regenerate. So, freak the Gemara, that the assumption is that that's what bone marrow does, and presumably that's what the Tana the Mishnah should hold. If that's the case, Eva Ma'al Yehu, that we should view the kulis not as an etzem, but rather as an Eiver. It should be Mitama Ba'oil. And this is based on the fact that we mentioned in the Akdama that an Eiver is Mitama Ba'oil. But an etzem is not metama ba'oil. What's the difference between an aver and an etzem? One is a limb, the other one is a bone. So for our purposes, as it relates to the sugyas of aholis, the difference is that an aver is a bone, or could be a bone, that has basar on it. An etzem is just a trick in an etzem that doesn't have any basar on it. Stating that, the Gemara understands in the Kash, and Rashi explains this at great length, he argues with Rashi a little bit in Rashi's Avon in the Gemara, that any bone that doesn't have any basar on it now, but has the ability for there to be basar, or could have, would have, should have had the ability for it to have basar, that would be enough to look at it right now as being an efer. This etzem that has mayach, being that the mayach has the ability to create the basar to regenerate now, right now the etzem was already detached from the animal, so now nothing's going to regenerate. And a chanami. But had it been attached, that's the coulda, woulda, shoulda part, then it would have regenerated. So that's enough to look at it maybe right now as an eiver. So great, the Gemara Kasha, that vastut zachta, why in the Mishnah Kulos Amesis there are only Tumas Maga? And Rashi says Mas also. What happened to Tumas Ayo? L'chayra, from three bechinas. Number one, what happened to the basar on the Kulos? So Mar said, you'll tell me there was no basar on the Kulos. What about the kezayis of mayach? So you'll tell me there was no kezayis mayach. But faith the Gemara, forget about the basar. There is no, you're right, there's no kezayis basar. You don't have kezayis basar in Amesis. You can't check off that box. But I can check off a different box. Eiver. Eiver is also metama ba'oil. Just like a kezayis basar of Amesis is metama ba'oil, and Eiver is metama ba'oil. And why is this not an Eiver? So you'll tell me, well, it's not an Eiver. Because what defines Eiver? You have that basar. There was no basar. It's true you don't have basar. But you have mayach. And Rashi says, even if you don't have mayach, as long as there was once mayach, that should be enough. A kulis by definition, for sure, at one point had mayach. So the mayach should be enough to say that being that when this bone was attached to the behemoth, it had the ability to regenerate basar, that's enough to look at it now as a aver. Once it's an aver, it should be metama. Zok the Gemara, Amr Rav Yehuda ben Rav Chiya, Zoy say Meris, you have to say, the Tana the Mishnah holds, Mayach bebechnin, ene mala rucha mebechotz. Tana must hold that that's not the way it is, and as a result, this marrow does not have the ability to regenerate, that's why you don't look at it as an aver. There's no kezayis
basar, so there's no tumas oil mitzad basar. It's not an aver. Why not? Because it's not going to be mala arucha. And as a result, if it's not an aver and it's not a kzayis basar, all it is an etzim. An etzim's not metama ba'oil. What is it metama? B'mago b'masa. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. Kulas hameis. Alts etzim has an ability bein sasum bein nakuv to be metama. Freik the gemara b'mayu kimto deleko kzayis. So you're telling me now, in order to understand the first halacha of the Mishnah, kulas hameis, and specifically why it is that there's tumas mago but there's no tumas oil, you have to make an akimta and tell me it's talking about where there's no kazayis basa. Because again, if there was kazayis basa, there'd be tumas oil. Ihachi, so the Gemara's gonna bomb away. If that's the case, but mukdashim abay metamo. How do you understand the second halacha in the Mishnah? What was the second halacha? Pigula noiser. So Rashi explains the Gemara's kasha with noiser. So let's talk about noiser. Noiser is something that, in addition to being aser b'achila, and in addition to being psulei hamukdashim, it also falls into the categories of tuma. Noiser, Mishnah, Psachim, Kuf, Chav, Amid, Beis is also tuma. But that's poshit, that in order to have tumas noiser, you have to have a kezayis noiser. The heftza of noiser is a kezayis. If it's pachas mi kezayis, you don't have noiser. If you have a kezayis noiser, so now there's going to be tuma. So says the Gemara, if the Mishnah is talking about where there's no kezayis basar, not on the bone and not in the bone, why are we saying that? To explain the first halacha of the Mishnah, why kulas hameis is only metame b'magu b'masa, it's not metame b'oil. If that's the case, how do you understand the second halacha of the Mishnah? The second halacha Mishnah was, you have tumas noiser. If there's no kezayis, then there should be no tumas noiser. Am I metame? Vesu, and another kasha, kulas nevela v'kulas hasheret. The third and the fourth cases of the Mishnah respectfully. What did the Mishnah say? Over there, as it relates to tumas nevela and tumas sheret, if you have a kulas with a hole inside of it, so the halach is tuma. If it was sasum, there's not going to be tuma. Why? If there's an ekiv, is the tuma luchayra? You don't have a shear of tuma. And the premise of this question is that's pasha, that an etzem of an avela and a sheretz are not metama. Etzem of a human being is metama. Etzem kisayra. But there's no halach that an etzem of a nevela or an etzem of a sheretz ametam. So the only reason that there should be tumas nevela and tumas sheretz in our Mishnah by a kulis is because of the mayach's inside. How much mayach do you have to have inside? Then you have to have a kezayis. Kezayis basa nevela. Even two chatzis esim anamitzdarif, as we saw in the beginning of the daf. So that's pasha, you have to have a kezayis. The kasha is, if we're talking about that there's no kezayis, so where's the tumas nevela? Where's the tumas sheretz? So the Gemara is essentially asking Meman of Shach, what's going on over here? To understand the first halacha, the ratio in this case means the first of the four halachas mentioned in the Mishnah, you have to make an akim to that there was no kezayis. Why? Because if there's a kezayis, then why is kulis hameis only metame b'magamas? Why is it metame b'oil? So the teretz is there was no kezayis. The problem is the second, third, and fourth case of the Mishnah only makes sense if there was a kezayis. Second case is tumas noiser. There's no tumas noiser if there's no kezayis. The third and the fourth cases where we're talking about the kulis being metame b'nevela b'sheretz, the kulis doesn't have an ability to be metame. Doesn't matter. It could be a hole. That's. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't have an ability to be metame. It's only the mayach inside. How much mayach you have to have a kezayis? So then the first case is talking about where there was no kezayis, and the second and the third and the fourth cases is talking about where there was a kezayis, and the Gemara gives the perfect answer. Yeah, how like kasha, reisha, the like a kezayis. Again, the reisha meaning the first case, save for the ikka kezayis, and the save is talking about where not. Now, incidentally, just so that it shouldn't get more confusing than it might already be, but when you say reisha and seifa, so essentially what the Gemara just did now is there's two reishas and seifas. Reish and Seif is usually straightforward. The Reish is Azai, the Seif is Azai. No, you have four cases. So there's the Reish and the Seif from the halachic standpoint, and then there's the Reish and the Seif from the Mitzia standpoint. From the halachic standpoint, the Mishnah said that the Kulis is Mitama, whether it's Sasam or Nakuf in two cases, and it's not Mitama when it's Sasam in two cases. Kulas hameis and kulas hamikdashim hanegeya ben bein stuma bein akuv and tamei. So the ratio then would be tumas meis and tumas hamikdashim. And then you have the two cases where the kulas is only metama if there's a nekev. That's tumas nevel and tumas sheretz. So that would be the safest. You have the ratio and the safer from the halacha. The halacha of whether or not this kulas is metama when it's awesome. The ratio is kulas hameis and kulas hamikdashim. The safer is kulas nevela and kulas sheretz. Now you have the reisha and the sefer from the metzias standpoint. The first case of the Mishnah is talking about where there was no kezayis. The second and the third and the fourth case of the Mishnah is talking about where there was a kezayis. So you have the reisha, which is the kulas hameis,
it's Bidaleka Gazayas, and the Sefer, which is Kulas HaMikdashim, Kulas Nevela, and Kulas Sheretz, is all talking about where there is a Gazayas. And when you talk about the Reisha and the Sefer, the Mishnah, so you have to ask a follow-up question, right? Oh, you mean the Reisha and the Sefer from the Halacha perspective? Or do you mean the Reisha and the Sefer from the Metzias perspective? From the Halacha perspective, the Reisha is Kulas HaMeis and Kulas HaMikdashim, the Sefer is Kulas Nevela and Kulas Sheretz. From the Metzias perspective, the Reisha is Kulas HaMeis, the Sefer is Kulas HaMikdashim, Kulas Nevela, and Kulas Sheretz. Either way, says the Gemara, but now that we said that the Reisha, again, Kulas HaMeis is talking about the Lekki Gezayas, and the Sefer, Kulas HaMikdashim, Kulas Nevela, Kulas Sheretz, is talking about the Lekki Gezayas. If that's the case, who might come Ashmalad? So we're trying to make sense of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is like, Avada, we knew this. Who might come Ashmalad? What do you mean, might come Ashmalad? So Rashi explains. The first case of the Mishnah essentially is telling me that this Kulas HaMeis is Metame B'maga. Rashi says there's no Chiddush in this. There's no Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? That a Kulas has an ability to be Metame B'maga? Everybody knows. Etzim Kesoira is Metame B'maga. Now, if you're telling me it's also Metame B'oil, okay, then maybe it sounds like there's some Chiddushim going on over here. But you're telling me all you have is a Ke'etzim. You don't have any Basar anyways. So what exactly is the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, the Chiddush is Mili Mili Kamashmal. I'll explain to you the Chiddush of all four cases. Reisha Kamashmal, and the Chiddush of the Reisha is the Mechmi Bifne Meir Mala Ruch Mibachutz. No, there is a Chiddush here. You know what the Chiddush is? Not that it's Matama B'maga. The Chiddush is that it's not Matama B'oil. Why would you think it's not Matama B'oil? You don't have a Kazayas Basa. The Teretz is, you would have thought that being that this is a Kulis, this is a bone that has marrow, or at the very least had marrow, that's enough to give the bone a status of Aver. Because being that it's Mala Rucha, or could have been Mala Arucha, that's enough to look at it as an Aver. Aver is Matam Abayil. Kamash Malon, the Moyach Mibifnim, like Rabbi Yehuda Breid, Rav Chia said, Zoysoy Meres, that Moyach Mibifnim, Eina Mala Arucha, that's the Chiddush of the Reisha. Muktasha Mai Kamash Malon. What's the Chiddush of the second case? The fact that there's something called Tumas Noisa, we know there's something called Tumas Noisa. No, that's for sure Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? Kamash Malon, Shimush Noisa, and we'll see. It's true that we know that Noisa is Matama, but when you think of Noisa, what do you think of? When you visualize Noisa, shtick flesh, you think of a rib steak, right? That's what you think of. You're thinking of a piece of meat. That's what comes to mind. You never touched a piece of meat over here. You touched the bone. We made it a kimta that there was a kezayis of mayach inside the bone, but it's in the bone. So meicha tasi touching the bone makes you tummy. That's a chiddush. Shimush noisa milsi. Like in last week's staff, Yad and Shomer, there's a concept of tashmishe noisa, which is considered noisa. And the Gemara says that's certainly worthy of a Mishnah. That's a chiddush. In fact, Amar Mori Baravua, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Atzmus Kedoshim, Shemshim, Noisa, Metamin, Asayudai, Hayuvan, Asabasas, Ladavarasa. It's a basas, Ladavarasa. But the point is, that's for sure a chiddush. What about the latter cases of the Mishnah, the Sefer from the Metzias perspective, or let's say from the Halachic perspective, Kulas Nevela and Kulas Sheretz. Nevela says the Gemara, the Chiddush is Avagav Ikka Gezayas Nikve Inloy Nikvaloy. As it relates to Nevela and Sheretz, there the Chiddush is that you have to have a Nekev. But if you don't have a Nekev in that case, you're not going to be Tomei. Now, why is that a Chiddush? If there's no Nekev, of course you're not Tomei. You're not Tomei because you didn't touch it. Tumas Nevela, Tumas Sheretz is no Allah of Etzeh. So how do you become Tommy by Tumas Nevela, Tumas Sheretz? You'd have to touch the Basar. The Basar is the Mayach that's inside the bone. You have no way of touching it. So why is it a Chiddush that you're not Tommy? The answer is very simple. The answer is, the Chiddush is not that there's no Tumas Maga. The Chiddush is that there's no Tumas Masa. Why is there no Tumas Masa? You carry it. What's the difference if you had Tum in a bag and you would carry it? Or if there's Mayach inside a bone and I carry the bone? That's a good kasha. Why not? The Terence is because Kol Sheyeshne B'Maga Yeshne B'Masa. Kol Sheyeshne B'Maga Yeshne B'Masa. The only time you have Tumas Masa. But is that a Chiddush? It was a Chiddush before we learned yesterday's daf. But in light of that Kuf Chaf Dalud, why is that a Chiddush? The Terence is. You know what the Chiddush is? It's because in yesterday's daf, what happened was you had two half a Zesim of Nevela that were attached to Ur. The reason there was no Tumas Maga in that case is because for Maga, they have to be one. Because Ein Noigei of a Chayzev in Noigei. So they have to be one in order to be Tumay. There was a halachic, there was no Tumah, no Chetz of Tumah as it relates to Tumas Maga. That's why there was no Tumas Masa either. In our Mishnah, there is a Chetz of Tumah for Tumas Maga. You have Mayach, that's all together. The problem is it's inside a bone. That's not loibalachla maga. Crack the bone open, break the bone. There's no issur ve'etzem loisish berubai. Just break the bone and take out the maya, touch the mayach. So why is that loibalachla maga? Kamash malon, that the fact that b'metzias, this second, I can't get to it. That's enough for it to be loyal. Chalmagav is loybola, chalmagav is loybola, chalmasa. Either way, that's the beer in this Gemara. Thus, you have a chiddush. Either way, so what the Gemara essentially did was, is to make sense of the Mishnah, the chiddush in each one of the four cases respectively, is to say very simply that the Reisha, as in the first halacha of the Mishnah, Gulas Ameis is talking about where it was like a gezayis. The three latter case in the Mishnah was talking about where there was ikka gezayis. Additionally, what came out from the chiddush of the Reisha, again, the emphasis of today's daf is on the first case of the Mishnah. We'll get to the rest of the Mishnah. But for today, the emphasis is the first case of the Mishnah. And that is that Kulas Ames. Why is it only Metama B'maga? Why is it not Metama B'oil? The Teretz is because there was no Kazayas Basa. And there was no Kazayas of Mayach. And the Kulas is not viewed as an Aver because the Halacha is that the mayach mi befnim is enoy mala arucha, so it's not a kazayis basar, there's no aver, all there is an etzem. Etzem kisa'ira is metama, this is true, but it's only metama b'mago b'masa, it's not metama b'ayin. Abaya had a problem with what we just said, only one part of it. Abaya amal oy lamayach mi befnim mala arucha mi b'chutz. The metzius is that bone marrow, one of its functions are, it allows the bone and the body to regenerate. So as a result, it's pashit. Abaya says, I look at a kulis as an aver. I don't look at it, if you understand the halachic definition of an aver versus an etzem. There's no question that a kulis is considered an aver. If that's the case, if it's an aver, then why kulis ames is it only metama b'magam masa? Why isn't it metama b'ayil? Forget about the basa. Let it be metama al tzaver. It's talking about where you scraped off part of the marrow, you ruined the bone, and you ruined its marrow's ability to be able to do what it has to do. Meaning, a kulis in its natural state would be an aver, but this is not a natural kulis anymore. You chop it with it already. And as a result, that's going to be a problem. If you had a kulis and you shaved it la'arka along its length, it's still tame, meaning it's still treated as an aver, because its marrow doesn't lose its functionality. L'rachba, if however, you would shave it along its width, around the circumference of it, tahir, in that case it would be tahar, because at that point it's not an aver anymore. V'simanech, a good way to remember arka or rachba is dikla, that a tree, if somebody would play with a tree around its reichav, then that would affect the tree's ability to produce. If you do it la'arka, it wouldn't affect its ability to produce. The bottom line is, that's what Abaya said. So Abaya agrees with everything that the Gemara said up until this point, with just one tweak. He just said that, you're right, the Reisha, the first case of the Mishnah, is talking about where there was no Kazayas. The latter three cases are talking about there was a Kazayas. As it relates to the Kasha, forget about the Kazayas Basa. Why don't we look at the Kulis as an Aver? The first Teretz is, it's not an Aver. The Metzius is that the Mayach doesn't have an ability to be Ma'ala Rucha. Thus, it's not an Aver. Abaya says, no, Mayach really does have an ability. Hacha b'mayaskino, where it doesn't have an ability. Why not? Bisha Shafa. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan had a whole different mahalach in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan wanted the Mishnah to be consistent. He said if the second, third, and fourth case in the Mishnah talk about whether it was a Kazayas, the first case is also talking about whether it was a Kazayas. What's the Kasha? If the first case is whether it's a Kazayas, this should be Tumas Oil. And by the way, Rabbi Yochanan added, and he said, even if there wasn't a Kazayas, Rabbi Yochanan said, it's still the bone of Kulis would be viewed as an Aver. Because mayach mi befnim is mala rucha mi b'chutz. And I'm not going to make an akimta like Abaya did b'sheshafa, where right now the kulis doesn't have an ability to... No. It does. That's the case. It's a pella. How do you understand the Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah say kulis ames is metame b'maga? L'chayr, it should be metame b'oil as well. Says the Gemara, it is metame b'oil. If it's metame b'oil, all the Mishnah is talking it's metame b'oil. The Mishnah did say it was metame b'oil. No, it didn't. The Mishnah said, ha'negeya behen. Umay negeya diktani. You know what negeya means? Mahil. And this is going to take us already into lumdus. But before the lumdus, the Gemara just asks Akash, v'maych b'ufnem ma'la rucha b'b'chod. If maych b'ufnem is ma'la rucha, kulis nevela v'kulis hasheretz, kiloi nikva my time. Then how do you understand the latter two cases in the Mishnah? A gishmaka kasha, kulis nevela v'kulis hasheretz, only metama if there's a nekev. If there's no nekev, they're not metama. What's the pshat? Because if there's no nekev, all you have is an etzem. An etzem is not metama, but nevela b'sheretz. If there is a nekev, then you have the basa that's inside, the kezayis basa that's inside. Now already you can touch it. You can stick a hair inside it and touch it. So if it's shaykh b'maga, that's it. So now you're good. And again, behem, it's shaykh b'mas as well. So at that point already, you're going to be
Tame, but the Gemara's kasha is that l'chayra, the bone marrow of the Neveva and the Sheretz should make that kulas of the Neveva and the Sheretz also into an Aver. Oh, once it's an Aver of Neveva and Sheretz is Metama. An Etzem is not Metama, but an Aver is Metama. So the Gemara's kasha is that if this Meich Befnim is Mala Rucha, then why Kiloi Nikvu in the safe is it going to be taught? Amrab Yom Bar Gidl, Amrab Yoichach, Mayaskidr, going to Ikkazayas Moyach, HaMiskashkesh. So you have to say there was Moyach, and the Moyach really is Mala Rucha, but in our Mishnah, it didn't have the ability to be Mala Rucha, because it was already dried out. I mean that it was dried out, it was rattling. That's the literal taich of Miskashkesh. At this point, it didn't have the ability, that's the punchline though, is doesn't have the ability to regenerate. Gabi Meis, Tumah Bikas V'Oilo. As it relates to Meis, it doesn't matter that it doesn't have the ability to regenerate, because by Meis, I don't need the Moyach inside in order to have Tumah, because the Tumah could be by Keya. But as it relates to Nevela, keeping the Miskashkish with Nikva in, Loi Nikva, Loi. What your Kasha is, that doesn't the Mayach have an ability to make the Etzem regenerate dust, which will do it as a neighbor? Once it's Miskashkish, at that point, it doesn't have an ability to do it. But the bottom line is, there's one Lumdisha piece that Rabbi Yochanan said in his beer of this Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to digress now well into tomorrow's daf, discussing this Lumdis. And that is, Rabbi Yochanan said that really, when the Mishnah says, Kulis Hameis, Hanoigeya Bahen, Bein stuven bein akubin tame. You know what hanegeba means? It means if you touched it. For sure means that. If you carried it. It also means if you were in a oihel relationship with it. What's the point? The point is because haitana negeya mal karile. Right? It's one and the same. Oil is negeya. Oil, if somebody is tachas an oil together with a mace, it's as if he touched the mace. That sounds like a chiddush. Because at first glance, you would think negiya luchod and oil luchod. So for this already, we need a source. Rabbi Yochanan's an amayra, Rabbi Yochanan's the amayra. But at the same time, we need a Tanakh source for such a halacha, and that's what the Gemara is going to do now. Amar Rab Abin, Vitemer Rab Yosi Bar Abin. Afanan Amitonino. I have a source. It's a Mishnah. Mesachtus Aholois. Hanoigeya Bekachatzi Zayas. If somebody was touching a half a Zayas, Geschmack of Basar Ameis, Umal Achatzi Zayas, and he himself was serving as an oil on top of another half a Zayas. So in his right hand, he was holding a half a Zayas of Basar Ameis, and then he was being Mahil at the same time over another half. So he's touching a half a Zayas, and he's being Mal on a half a Zayas. Oichatzi Zayas, Mal Allah. Of, or he was holding half his eyes, and there was half his eyes that was being mal olav. Tommy is going to be Tommy. Why women start off the two half his eyes? It says, "Yeah, bishloim chachmahu, bishloima." If when somebody is mahil on a mace, it's as if he's touching it. So that it comes out that mag and oil are really one and the same. Because the yisoid of oil is, it's a type of mag. That's why it's mitzarif. But if you're going to tell me that oil luchud and mag luchud, is it mitzarif? Time we learned in the Mishnah. That if it's shem mechem, it has the ability to be mitzarif. But it's two shemes, it's going to be tar. Elamai says the Gemara, you have to say chachmo. Oh, so you're telling me that mag and oil is the same thing. How are you going to learn the sefer? The sefer says, I'm going to give it what the al kachatzis zayis tahar? So this is a geshmaka case. What happened? More geshmaka. If somebody was touching a half a zayis and he was under an oil together with another half a zayis, so it's again, it's just a third example of how you have someone touching a half a zayis and tumas oil with another half a zayis. So what's the halacha over there? Tahar, he's going to be tahar. V'ichad shmahu, if it's one shem oil and mago, am I tahar? Then why are you going to be tahar? Now, really, what the this is that's the same for the same mishnah. So essentially, what the mishnah said was as follows: what happens if somebody's touching a half a zayis of a mace and he's in oil with another half a zayis of a mace? Says the mishnah. If you summarize it, it depends what type of oil. We said in the Haktama, there's three types of Tumas oil. How do you have Tumas oil? You're mahil on the mace is mahil on you, you're under the same oil as the mace. In the first two cases, if you're mahil on the mace is mahil on you, chatzi zayis, and you're touching a chatzi zayis, that's mitzarif. If you're touching a chatzi zayis and you're under the same oil with the other half a zayis, then it's not going to be. Al kopanim, what it seems like is that from the resha, oil and negiya are the same. Thus, them it's tarif. It's chadshma. From the sefer, it sounds like it's not. So the Gemara initially brought this mishnah as a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. Which part of the mishnah? The reisha. But then the Gemara said immediately, you're bringing a raya from the reisha. You have a kasha from the sefer, which, in other words, means we have to understand the mishnah a little bit better, because otherwise, the mishnah seems to be soiser itself. That's the Gemara's kasha. Elo kasha reisha. So how do you understand the mishnah? Rab Zeira said, and this Teretz really requires a lot of beer that we don't have the time for. Betumah ritzutza bein beis mikdol and askian bein beinayim boisech tefach the kulinagiyeh. It's talking about the resha, that is. It's talking about where you didn't have a regular tumas oil, so you were being mahil on top of the mace, but at the same time it wasn't a regular tumas oil. Hachav b'mayaskinon with the tumah. Where the tumah was in a very compacted area. It was so small that the area that this chatzis zayis was in was less than one cubic tefach. There's a halacha l'moshe Sinai that if tumah is in an area of less than a cubic tefach, it doesn't have the ability to create a real tumas oil. So in that case, when you're mahil on top of tumah that's in that type of area, so it's not considered tumas oil because that type of tumah doesn't have the ability to transmit via tumas oil. What then will the tumah be? It's going to be tumas negiya. That's not going to be tumas oil. And that's gufa why it's mitzdarif. You're right. Maybe the Tana of the Mishnah holds that oil and maga do not have the ability to mitzdarif. But in the resha, it's talking about where the tumah was in this ritzutza matziv. Thus, it's not oil. What it is maga. It's some convoluted form of a tumas maga, and as a result, it has an ability to be mitzdarf. But ordinarily, it does not have the ability to be mitzdarf, says the Gemara. So if that's the case, uman tana de karil oil nageh. So then, who is the tana that's karil oil nageh? Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan said a chiddush that when the Mishnah says kula sam meis nageh and stum beinu kuvim tameh nageh means even oil, because oil is sometimes referred to as nageh. Who's the tana? We thought it's this Mishnah Nahalas, but then we can't make sense of the ration of the sefer. So it must be the Mishnah Nahalas means something else, Tumah Ritzutza. But as it relates to Rabbi Yechanan, who's the Makar? So the Gemara says it's Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, we learned to the Braisa. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Mole Tarvod Rekev. If you have a, Rashi says, a Tarvod is a kaf, so a spoonful or a ladleful of Rekev, of dust of a maize. Metama Bemaga Ubemasa Uba Oil. So if you have tarvad rekev, the halach is it's metama b'magre b'masabah. So again, think of the crematoria, le'oleinu. The dust of a mace. So what are we discussing here? Bishleima b'masa uba oil hakatan leila kule. I understand, says the Gemara, how it's possible to become tummy tumas oil and masa through this meloy tarvad rekev. You're carrying the Maloy Tarvid Rekev. You're under the same roof as the Maloy Tarvid Rekev. You're mile on top of it. It's mile on top of you. So it's not so hard to figure out how this works. But the Gemara's kash is, Elonegeya, Halenaga Bekule. How do you have Tumas Naga with Maloy Tarvid Rekev? The shear is every little speck of dust. L'chaira, how do you touch every speck of dust? It's not possible. How do you touch every single speck? It's not possible. So if it's not possible, how do you have mag? Elolav, so the Gemara says a chiddush. Shema mina, ma'inegei ma. You know what Rabbi Yossi must have meant when he said, Meloi tarvid rekev is metame b'maga b'masavai. What do you mean when he said maga? He meant oil. He meant oil. So you see that you have a Tana, Rabbi Yossi, who used the word maga. He didn't mean maga. He meant oil. Ah, kevaldik. That's the makar to Rabbi Yossi. This part is very simple. That when the Mishnah says, Anageya, Bikulas Ames, he's talking, maybe Nageya can mean ma. What do you see? Nageya means ma, Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi said, if somebody touches Meloy Tarvid Rekev, he becomes Tomei. No way. And you have, how do you touch every speck of dirt? Elama, you in ma. Oh, so you see that the word Nageya can mean ma. But the Gemara says, how does that, you can make that work in our Mishnah. But there's no way that's what Rabbi Yossi meant. You know why? Because Haktani Negev, Haktani Mal. What did Rabbi Yossi say? Meloy Tarvid Rekev is Metame B'maga B'masa Uboil. What does Maga mean? You're telling me it means oil. Masa means Masa. What does Mal mean? It also means oil. So L'chayda, Rabbi Yossi didn't have to say oil twice. Amar Abaya. So Abaya said to answer this question, L'mata mitefach oil negia. L'malu mitefach oil greater. You're right. Rabbi Yossi meant Mahil when he said Maga. And he meant oil when he said Mahil. It's the same thing. It's not being redundant. Two types of oils. There's an oil where the oil is within one tefach of the tumah, and then there's an oil where it's lemaila of a tefach. When it's within a tefach, it's called maga. When it's lemaila mi tefach, it's not called maga. Rav said a different tefach. Lemaila mi tefach nami oil negiyahu. Even if it's lemaila mi tefach, it's still going to be considered negiyah. Vehechi dami oil greda. What then is oil greda? Beham shacha. This is a geshmak alumnus. And that is, says Rav, there's different types of oils, as we saw. There's tumas oil where you're maga on the tumah. There's tumas oil where the tumah is mal on you. Then there's tumas oil where you're both under the same tumah. When you're on the tumah or the tumah is on you, that type of tumas oil, magakarile.
That's called a magadiga oil. When you're under the same oil as the tumah, that's what Rava refers to as hamshacha. That's a different type of tumas oil. That type of tumas oil is what Rabbi Yossi meant when he said oil. The bottom line is you have a makar from Rabbi Yossi. You have a makar from Rabbi Yossi that the word maga could sometimes mean oil. Thus, that would be the makar to Rabbi Yochanan's beer in the Mishnah. That when the Mishnah says kulas ames hanageya behen tameh, what was the kasha? Hanageya behen tameh. Why only hanageya? Why not tumas oil? So we had two tirutz in the Gemara. There were two mahalchim namayrav. The first mahalach, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chiya and Abaya, they said that it's talking about where for some reason it's not nogeya tumas oil. Why not? There was no kezias of meat on the bone. There was no kezias of mayach in the bone. The mayach either never has the ability to regenerate, or in this case, hachem mayaskina, where it doesn't have the ability to regenerate, that's not an aver either. There's no kezias basa, there's no aver. All there is an etzem. Very nice, is a kulis, is an etzem. But etzem is not matama b'oil. So if it's not matama b'oil, that's why you don't have to masay. That was the first one. Second mahalach was Rabbi Yochanan, that the Mishnah, when it says anegeya, doesn't just mean maga. Because when you use the word negeya in the context of tumas means, it means maga. And it also means tumas oil. Where do you find that maga can mean tumas oil? It's that Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Meloi tarvin rekeh metame b'maga b'maso ba'oil." What does maga mean? It doesn't mean literally maga because you can't touch every piece of rekeh. What it must mean is it must mean oil. I didn't, Rabbi Yossi, anyways, mention oil. Abaya said one teretz, Rava said another teretz. For further analysis, you can take a look at Rashi. I mean, you don't have to go that far, but Rashi often art says that really at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to learn Rabbi Yossi like Rava, not like Abaya. But the Ein Kamakayim, we'll stop here.